Welcome back to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weisup. Today we're doing another installment of the Pop Culture Analysis, the TMZ show. Everyone knows it. Everyone loves it. Today's pop culture focus will be on a variety of topics. We're going to update on the UAP and Alien Task Force, Esperanza Spalding and the Baphomet with John Legend. It's a video I made that went viral. Elon Musk, goats, Baphomet, and Ghislaine Maxwell. We're going to talk Chrissy Teigen pizza tweets in there. We'll talk Ellen DeGeneres and her DJ, Twitch, who died. We're going to cover hip-hop, my favorite topic. Gunna, is he a snitch? We're going to answer that question. Roger Stone is seeing portals above the White House. We're going to catch up on Tory Lanez and Meg Thee Stallion. Illuminate confirm on Jay-Z for the 1 millionth time. And the 1 millionth time, we'll cover that as well. Nick Cage is free again. We're going to talk Brittany Griner, the Russian dark arts. Are the Satan 2 missiles coming? Well, Putin's been studying the occult dark art, so maybe. And then, for good measure, we'll talk about Future. The rapper got demonic energy in his studio. Can you believe it? So, without further ado, I think we need to get into it because I've got a lot to cover today. And I'm working on a show. I'm looking at the calendar. I owe my Patreon, VIP, and Rockfin supporters a bonus show for the month of December. And I'm under the gun. I'm going to try to... You're going to get one of two different shows. I don't want to let you behind the scenes too much. Option one, you're going to get the Superman 4 movie review, which I know that sounds boring. Wait till you hear what's in this movie. I actually already recorded that. That one's done. It's in the can. That's my backup plan in case I don't get this done. But I'm working on a Wizard of Oz film analysis. I'm reading the book as we speak. If I can get the book done and give you enough information to make it worth your while on Theosophy and the author and Helena Blavatsky and Aleister Crowley and alchemy and all the symbolism buried into this classic tale, you might get the Wizard of Oz this month. We'll see. Don't hold me to it. If you see Superman 4, you know I didn't make it. Didn't make the cut. So we'll just see what happens. Let me catch up on the latest. I mean, the world is spinning very fast. There's so much going on in the world of pop culture and the occult. Where to begin? Let's start with the Pentagon. They say, hey, look, there's no proof of extraterrestrial life. We've been digging into the archives, and what do you know? No proof. We can't confirm that there's alien life. And this comes from the new team at the Pentagon studying the new propaganda branding of the unmanned aerial phenomenon, unidentified aerial phenomenon, I should say. Excuse me. This is the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, ARRO, A-A-R-O. They said there's nothing that they've seen in all the files that they have access to suggest that alien life has ever been on Earth. And they promise us they're taking a very scientific approach. Wherever the science leads is where they will find the answers. Now, what's more interesting is that the article I read had a very interesting statement at the end. All right, because, you know, we've covered this alien topic and the occult and the new order they want for us, the new Luciferian religion. As per my worldview, I described it in detail in my two alien books. But what's interesting, take a look at what they say at the very end of the article. It says, the legislation, which has not yet been signed by President Joe Biden, calls for the Pentagon to prepare a report looking at the historical record of the U.S. government related to UFOs or unidentified flying objects going back to 1945. They're talking about the defense budget, I think. You know, at the end of the year, they always push through all this crazy legislation over the holidays when no one's paying attention. And during this, I think it's in the defense bill apparently they're tasking this Arrow office to research the history of UFOs as it pertains to the U.S. government. And what we're talking about is, okay, yeah, they want to dig into Roswell, even though they've officially came out a bunch of times already and like, no, that wasn't never aliens. Look, none of us believe that, all right? But what's interesting is they say going back to 1945, Roswell happened, of course, in July of 47. But why 45? Why should we care? 1945 is when they tested the first atomic bomb at the Trinity site in New Mexico. All right. This ties into all of the occult fantasies. We interviewed Paolo Harris. She wrote a book with Jacques Vallée about their research into the Trinity crash. I released that in, when was that? It was recently, in the last 10 episodes, we'll say. And she documents the Trinity crash in America that happened in 1945, right after they started testing the first atomic bomb at the Trinity site. Do you see all the religious, spiritual tie-ins with the alien phenomenon? The Trinity site, where the atomic bomb was unleashed, arguably opening up portals. And we talked a lot about this over the past with Jack Parsons and his work of the rites, the ritual of, I can't think of the Babylon working rituals, where he would do magic rituals to open up portals in 46 and 47. Aleister Crowley said, hey, these guys aren't doing it right. They're not closing down the portals. They're buffoons. And then we had Roswell. Well, strangely enough, this could go back even further to 1945. And there's a whole mountain of symbolism behind that. I'm probably going to talk about it on a full show someday here. I'm trying to get a hold of this one guy. He knows who he is because I want to work on a James Selby Downard show. So anyway, so I'm holding off until I can get a hold of this guy because he's very knowledgeable on the subject. Okay, moving on. Esperanza Spalding and John Legend. I know who John Legend is. Never been a fan, but I'm not an R&B guy, so of course I'm not a fan. I certainly have no clue who Esperanza Spalding is, but my main girl, Josie Weishaupt, sent me a TikTok, and it's a clip from a show called The Voice. And on the clip, it shows Esperanza Spalding doing a very curious magical symbol with her hands standing next to John Legend. And she looks at John Legend and goes and says, like, oops. Meaning, I don't know, the camera wasn't supposed to catch it or she didn't realize they were already on camera. I don't know. It's very bizarre. But the symbol, the hand sign she's giving is that of the Baphomet. We talked about this in the Doctor Strange movie analyses that I did when the second Doctor Strange movie came out. And, of course, it's just a magical sigil. When you point it up and down, it's a reference to as above, so below, which in ritual magic, it's the science of understanding this law of attraction of how the astral bodies out in the stars, out in the cosmos, are tied in to the earthly realm. And they believe through their science of occult ritual magic, they can cause changes in the universe in conformity with the will of the magician. All right. Now, who's Esperanza Spalding? Because I had to look into her. No clue who she was. She's some kind of musical prodigy. And I found it interesting. She did an album with Tony Visconti, who's a very famous collaborator of David Bowie. David Bowie, one of the greatest. Of course, David Bowie, Illuminate, confirm all day long. You know, I'm the first to admit it. I'm a huge Bowie fan. But he's Illuminate, confirm. So confirm. He said he was Ziggy Stardust, the alien from the future. He was in The Man Who Fell to Earth as Luciferian aliens coming to Earth. Anyway, in this album she did, it featured an alter ego of hers she calls Emily. We see this often. I'm going to read you from Pitchfork magazine. Spalding has found an alter ego to speak to her more extroverted creative side. Spalding sings through a muse named Emily, her middle name, though her reasons for doing so aren't clear-cut. As a character, Emily wants you to buck the system, to fight for peace and tranquility. She wants you to reconnect. Isn't that an oxymoron? To fight for peace? Okay, whatever. Whatever, Emily. Sounds good. She wants you to reconnect with your spiritual center to avoid facades. Emily is, quote, a spirit or a being or an aspect who I met or became aware of, end quote. That's what Esperanza Spalding said. She told NPR this. She said, and I quote, I recognize that my job is to be her arms and ears and voice and body. In a sense, I see it as a flashlight into the future. These artists are tapping into energies, deities, entities, whatever. They're conducting occult practices. And I guarantee if someone asked her, just as, you know, Santana talked about channeling Metatron, and I go through a whole list in my book, Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic, about how all these artists employ strategies to make contact with entities from another dimension, very much similar to aliens. In particular, Nicki Minaj, she has several alter egos. That's kind of the most famous one we could talk about. She had a Roman Zelansky alter ego, this entity that got exercised publicly on TV at a ritual at the, I think it was the Grammys, where she had that exorcism performance. And here's another one, Emily. And look, I don't trust John Legend either. Never trusted the guy. He's married to Christy Teigen. Let's talk about her now. If you don't know the deal on Christy Teigen, she had a whole slew of ultra creepy things that, dare I say, if a man ever said these things on his Twitter or anywhere else, he would get canceled so fast and arrested so fast. And look, to be fair, a lot of the conspiracy people and the QAnon crowd, they claim that Teigen and John Legend were on the Epstein flight logs. Apparently, that's not true. There's a lot of false misinformation about the Epstein flight logs. I think it's done on purpose. But for the last few years, there's false guests circulating on these logs. And I think it's all part of this QAnon disinformation thing, right? But apparently they weren't on there. I'm going to read you some of the tweets that she has deleted. She said she deleted 60,000 tweets. A, no way did she delete 60,000 tweets. That would take forever. She paid someone to do it, or her handlers did it, or management, or somebody. But let's talk about some of these, because she was, okay, and to play devil's advocate, to be fair to her, the claim is that she was really into this Toddlers and Tiaras show, which I think toddler beauty pageants is borderline pedophilia anyway. You can miss me with that BS all day. I think it's creepy. But hey, man, teach his own, whatever. You want to do that to your kids, go for it. Knock yourself out. I think it's creepy, and I think it's wrong. Just my opinion. But this is what she says. On her Twitter, she said, seeing little girls do the splits half naked is just ... I want to put myself in jail. Hashtag toddlers and tiaras. This tweet is from 2011. She said, I'm about to Anthony Weiner this kid. Who is Anthony Weiner? This was Clinton's buddy, and he did time for sexting with a minor. What was his name? Bobby Danger or something crazy. Carlos Danger. 2009, she tweeted, I just saw a baby that looked like a porn star, like a trashy do-anything porn star. Is this wrong to think? Yes, it's very wrong to think, Christy Teigen. It's very wrong to think. In 2012, she tweeted, a belly and a shirt with a small, sexy toddler on it saying, number one, duh. Retweet at Chad Kramer, what does a guy wear to a toddlers and tiaras party? And then there was a reply at Kevin Shockey. No, sorry, I'm misreading. So I got all these from a website. I'm going to put allegedly in front of all this because these are very bold sort of accusations. I mean, maybe she did these things, maybe she didn't. Let's be fair, maybe. I don't think so, but maybe. And I got all these from a website. This is a reply she had to Kevin Shockey from 2012. Nah, he just said the cleanest and best pleasure is to have sex with a 13-year-old. Up until that, ... Ha, 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 ha. Bro. What is going on? And what's interesting, because I had to search, because I knew she had these strange tweets, and I had to go searching for them. I had to look for a Reddit or a website that archived these things. And what's interesting is that I found this website, a tabloidy website, thethings.com, and I stumbled upon it trying to find these tweets. And the article was titled, "These were the most controversial Tegan tweets ever." And I clicked on it because I was sure that I was like, okay, here we go. This is it. These are the tweets I was looking for about all this creepy stuff, right? Nope. Nope. Just celebrity gossip tweets. But they're sure to tell you. This is what Google gave me on their results, by the way. They were sure to tell me, "These are the most controversial Tegan tweets ever." No, no, bitch. Those were the ones I read were the most controversial tweets ever. This is a smokescreen. And everyone's waking up to Hollywood and the media and these elites. I mean, not everyone. I seem to be the only one that's talking about how the elites, these rich bozos that own the media. And it's a bipartisan thing. The very right wing, I live in Utah, right? Very right wing state. The very right-wing Mormon church owns a ton of media. And these... Oh, and by the way, the Mormon church, like every other church, pays no taxes. Pays no taxes on their dividends, on their investments. Totally normal. But what I'm saying is that there's left and right-wing interest involved in all of this. But, you know, people want to only talk about, oh, CNN and Clinton owns the media. No. No, Fox News is also part of this, okay? Tucker Carlson, his dad was part of the CIA secret little covert op stuff. All these, the Washington Post, all these different media sites, and they throw in, I mean, I don't know who owns thethings.com. I'm sure if I took the time to dig into it, you would find some rich asshole at the end of the rainbow there. Because they want to cover up for this stuff. Anyway, speaking of demonic farm animals, the Baphomet, of course. And I don't know if I have addressed it. The Baphomet is the goat with the bobs that the Church of Satan uses on its logo. It represents a bunch of different occult meanings. I talked about it. Go to my Friday the 13th special on the Knights Templar and the Baphomet. If you want to learn more about that, it's a deep topic. I released that in May, I believe, of 22. But let's talk about the goats, because Elon Musk was depicted as a goat recently. I don't know if you saw that. Let me read you. Self-described massive Elon fans are driving a giant sculpture of Musk's face on the body of a goat riding on a rocket around the Austin area. The owners of the sculpture run a cryptocurrency firm called Elon Goat Token and say it is meant to pay homage to Musk's contributions to cryptocurrency. The sculpture is intended to symbolize that Musk is the GOAT, an acronym for the greatest of all time, which is why the billionaire's head is on the body of a goat. Its creators say the monument to Musk cost $600,000 to build. The project was funded primarily through fees on cryptocurrency transactions and funding from cryptocurrency community members. These nerds are going to kill us. These nerds are going to kill us, and they're going to take all of our money first. All right? Jeff Bezos flying around in a big phallus rocket. Elon Musk is being portrayed as a goat. Everyone's more than happy to give him... Oh, he's going to save Twitter. Oh, boy. Okay. He shut down just as many people. He shut down the, you know, free speech. It's the speech he wanted was allowed to stick around. Everyone else he was banning. Now, and look... is Twitter shut down like the libs said? No. And the libs, they went full nuclear when Elon Musk took over Twitter. I had mixed feelings on it, right? I don't like Elon Musk. I don't trust him. But Chris Hayes from MSNBC said his worst fears have been realized when Elon Musk took over Twitter. Like, come on, that's excessive. And look, like I said, I don't like Elon Musk at all. I voted him the most evil nerd on the planet on my show with Breaking Social Norms with my wife, Josie. We counted down the most evil nerds on the planet earlier this year. But the liberals, you know, it's everything is such a distraction. It's so upsetting to me. They go so hard on this cancel culture and being sensitive to what people say. Like, just, you know, just let people enjoy their day. Let people enjoy the entertainment they want to enjoy, you know? If it's gross or mean, what are you going to do? You know what I mean? But, anyways. But, like, not everyone's evolved to the point of being so woke that they're only going to laugh at the sophisticated jokes that you think they should be allowed to laugh at. Some people like dick jokes. Some people, you know, and I'm not advocating for it, but people, even the KKK, they're allowed to have their stupid opinion that's wrong, right? Kanye West, he's allowed to have his stupid opinion that's wrong. It's fine. That's what we let happen in our country, you know? But is this goat, Elon Musk as a goat, is it the Baphomet? Probably not. It's a bunch of nerds, crypto nerds, the worst kind. And look, inside joke, because if you don't know who I am, I myself am a crypto nerd, all right? I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for the next crypto bull cycle. It's coming. My day's coming, baby. And when it takes off, your boy's quitting the dreaded day job. Someday. Can't wait. And I think these nerds are just trying to pump their Elon coin, to be honest. And also, at the same time, Elon Musk, he claimed that there's an episode of Simpsons predicting he would buy Twitter. He's referencing a 2015 episode, season 26, episode 12, titled The Musk Who Fell to Earth, playing on the title of the novel The Man Who Fell to Earth, which had a movie starring David Bowie as the alien who fell to Earth. The fallen angel, Lucifer. But notice, let's take a step back and notice all the occult references happening and lining up to the fallen angel or the alien, right? And by the way, in that book, the alien, guess where he lands? He lands in New Mexico. That's right. Which is where we had the Trinity crash in 1945 at the location where they were testing the atomic bomb. We had Roswell, New Mexico in 1947. There was the UFO crash of Socorro, New Mexico. There was Epstein's Zorro Ranch, his transhuman ranch out there. We deep dived into that topic on my Stanley Kubrick Lolita show. That was back in the summer of 2020. It was a Patreon-only bonus. You can only get it on Patreon or my VIP section. We did a dive into Stanley Kubrick's Lolita, which, you know, that film is obviously about a guy attracted to a minor, but it goes deeper than that. There's human furniture. There's all kinds of stuff. There's talk about a ranch in New Mexico where they had a bunch of artists doing a bunch of weird stuff, which is arguably what Epstein was doing out there. Now let's talk about the Simpson episode. It says here, while the still image itself does not refer to Elon, the episode did feature a cameo of him and hinted at him changing a birdhouse. Twitter has often been attributed to as a bird app or a birdhouse. Duh. The scene then shows Elon has transformed Lisa's birdhouse into a new state-of-the-art one, which draws several birds. Quote, I guess humanity wants its change, one birdhouse at a time, Lisa says as Elon Musk reboards his ship. So kind of. Speaking of Elon Musk and Epstein, Elon Musk caught hanging out with Ghislaine Maxwell. New York Times covered this in October 2022. I'm going to read you from it. When a snapshot of Elon Musk and Ghislaine Maxwell surfaced on social media in 2020, he took to Twitter, as he often does. I'm paraphrasing some of this, all right? Don't sue me. As he often does, to explain why he had been photographed with the British socialite who was later convicted of sex trafficking. I don't know Ghislaine at all, Mr. Musk tweeted in July 2020. She photobombed me once at a Vanity Fair party several years ago. Real question is why Vanity Fair invited her in the first place. Ah, touche, nerd. Touche, king nerd. Elon Musk. That's actually a fair rebuttal. It's not surprising that Mr. Musk felt he had to answer for the photograph, which had been taken 6 years earlier at the magazine's Oscars party. His personal life is frequently the subject of intense speculation. As it turns out, the meeting was slightly more than a photobomb. According to a Vanity Fair staff member at the time, who stood next to Ms. Maxwell and Mr. Musk and shared contemporaneous notes with the Times, the pair chatted. Ms. Maxwell asked Mr. Musk if there was a way to remove oneself from the internet and encouraged Mr. Musk to destroy the internet. Mr. Musk demurred. Ms. Maxwell then asked Mr. Musk why aliens hadn't yet made contact with humanity, to which Mr. Musk replied that all civilizations eventually end, including Maxwell's hypothetical alien one, and raised the possibility that humans are living in a simulation, which he's floated before. This is a very popular theme amongst Silicon Valley atheist scientist types. But it goes back to the occult concept of Gnosticism and the false god, because that's the underlying message they want you to have. Whether you agree with it or not is up to you, and I won't condemn you for whatever opinion you hold there. But just know that when they start talking about this matrix and, oh, we're living in a simulation, and, you know, if you're on TikTok, you'll see lots of videos where they're like, oh, people are just NPCs. We did a whole episode on the Ryan Reynolds film. What was it called? Fall Guy or something like that. Simulation theory is all over the place. They love it. They love it. Because the underlying message is there is no God that loves you out there. And look, there's fair enough philosophies and critiques to suggest that. I get it. I don't believe it because I choose not to believe it. It's a dark, nihilistic view of the world. And ultimately, I don't like it. Speaking of getting Epstein'd, Ellen's DJ, Stephen Twitch, dead at 40 by suicide. He was, let's read you from, from page six. It says, law enforcement sources told TMZ that police discovered Boss, I guess that's his last name, Boss's body in a Los Angeles hotel room after his wife, Allison Holker, frantically reported that he had left home without his car, which was unlike him. It appears he died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Now, I know nothing of this guy. Very famous, apparently. Conspiracy theorists online point out how this guy seemed very happy. He just bought this big old house. Had a new kid or whatever. But to me, I'm like, I don't know. That's how depression works sometimes. It's funny like that, right? Sometimes you have no idea what people are going through internally. And I know this because I got one of these, but there's a little voice in the back of your head sometimes that's constantly shaming you and bringing you down, man. That's why I like CrossFit. That's why I like meditation. Hell, I even like distractions like movies. Sometimes you got to shut that, they call it monkey mind in Buddhism. You got to shut that monkey mind down. Because sometimes that's the worst voice in the room. So maybe it's just a suicide, right? Sometimes that's what happens. But Ellen DeGeneres is a very strange connection. Because if you recall, we did an entire show about the death of Anne Heche not too long ago when she died. And some of the highlights from that episode, she talked about how she was pushed into the fourth dimension because her father sexually abused her. And in this fourth dimension, she created an alter ego named Celestia. which, you know, we tie into all the MK Ultra stuff. We already talked to alter egos. That's how they create them, through sexual abuse and trauma. Her Anne Heche's last film, Girl in Room 13, hadn't been released yet. At the time of her death, it was set to be released weeks later. And guess what that film is about? It's about human sex trafficking. Now, why are we talking about that? Because Ellen, of course, infamously dated or was even married maybe to Anne Heche. Ellen has the set with the blue and white stripes on it that are very similar to the little temple that Epstein had on his island. And it's interesting. Josie sent me a TikTok of a very interesting connection to that little temple room. It's designed in the same style as Hammam Yabuga in Syria. And it's a place where you apparently get massages and stuff, which is obviously draws parallels to Epstein, who was getting massages from minors, probably in that little blue temple, blue and white temple. But the design is in the Mamluk architecture. And Mamluk architecture, Mamluk refers to the non-Muslim slaves that they would have, which again parallels to Epstein with sex slaves and human trafficking. And Hammam Yabuga is located right next to the citadel of Aleppo in Syria. And it's apparently one of the oldest and largest places for the worship of the storm god Hadad. Hadad, a.k.a. Baal, a.k.a. Moloch. So again, another reference to this deity who people would sacrifice their kids to. We talked about this on my... I mean, how many shows did I do on Balenciaga? I appeared on Avery's Chiller Queen podcast. You got to check that interview out. I talked about it on SiriusXM with Rude Jude. I do a bit on there on the All Out show on Shade 45. We talk about it. But again, another reference to Moloch, Baal. And I talked about this in my hip-hop conspiracy book, Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic. I talked about how the ancients would, in fact, sacrifice humans and children to rain gods. They thought they were trying to gain favor for crops and rain because rain was life back then, right? So lots of strange things there. Now, can we confirm that Ellen DeGeneres and connections to Epstein have something to do with Twitch? Maybe he stumbled upon something that he saw her doing. She doesn't have a great track record. A lot of people were calling her out during the 2020 pizza email stuff with the frazzle drip art. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you probably think I sound crazy. But I don't know, right? I didn't see anything. I don't know Twitch's whole storyline. I've never seen an episode of Ellen in my whole life. I never thought she was funny. Moving on. We traded out WNBA star Brittany Griner to get her out of that Russian prison. She was in prison for, I believe she was facing 9 years for possession of weed. For possession of weed? Oh my goodness. What are they doing? And that's what you can expect from an authoritarian type government where the social moral values are dictated upon the whole population. Very Handmaid's Tale over there. You know, to them, the weed is the devil's lettuce. So yeah, she was in there doing 9 years for weed, which is insane, right? And we traded her out. We gave the Russians back Nick Cage. And I think we need to be careful here because Nick Cage has a history of changing faces, right? He did it with John Travolta once. I just think we have to be careful that we don't send the wrong guy back to Russia, back to Putin. You know, Nick Cage warned us, I want to take his face off, right? He warned us he was going to do that. Of course, I'm kidding. I'm referring to trading Brittany Griner for Victor Bout. Victor Bout was a Russian arms dealer, and he was portrayed as, in the film Lord of War by Nick Cage. Now, I haven't actually seen the movie, all right? And what's interesting is that an article I read recently to tie into Nick Cage a little bit more in the alien agenda, I just read this article, and Nick Cage said, "My father told me he felt like he had to introduce himself to me because I was such an alien." And you read that and you think, oh, you just mean your father didn't identify with you. He thought you were weird. No, no, no. An actual alien. Because he says, "I was shocked the day I went to the doctor's office as a child. And I found, I guess I should be doing this in my terrible Nick Cage voice. And I find out I had normal organs." And that's terrible. "And a normal skeleton because I was certain I was from another planet. I had difficulties connecting with other people. When I saw David Bowie in The Man Who Fell to Earth, I realized I needed to do something, so I became an actor." He said he's from another planet, and guess which one he identifies with, which alien? David Bowie, The Man Who Fell to Earth. There we go. How many references to one story can we have in one show? But yeah, lots of people speaking up. "Oh, it's not really fair. We're trading an actual arms dealer." They called him the Merchant of Death for a basketball player. And you know what? I kind of agree with him. I kind of agree with him on this one. Seems kind of crazy. But to be fair, Victor Bout was facing like 25 years and he only had 10 left. Probably would have got out early for good behavior maybe. So, I mean, I don't know. Tough call. I think it's insane for this woman to be doing time for weed. And I know people out there are like, "Well, those are the rules. You follow the rules." Fuck off. You know what? Sometimes people don't want to follow the rules, or they're stupid, you know? I mean, is it a real danger to society? Is she a real menace to society? I mean, not like Victor Bout. This guy was selling arms to our enemies. I don't know. Speaking of Mother Russia, Daily Star, which is a tabloid site, right? I have no clue how legit this actually is. Sometimes the tabloids get it right. Sometimes the tabloids get funneled the story through the CIA and the intelligence ops to sort of float the idea to get it, you know, predictive programmed into our subconscious so that we can accept it as reality. But listen to this. Vladimir Putin has become obsessed with the occult, including mind reading and blood rituals, according to a prominent Russian journalist. With his declining physical and mental health, the ill dictator has clung to a psychic and has even sacrificed animals, including a dog and an eagle, to maintain his grip on power. He's also said to regularly bathe in magic deer antler blood to aid his diminishing virility, according to Oleg Kashin. With other reports that Putin was once purged of demons by a Siberian shaman. The Russian leader is not alone, though, with many of his inner circle believing in a lot of magical things, and security forces had begun extensively researching the paranormal. Spurred on by his cronies and escalating paranoia, Vladimir's bizarre beliefs may have been partially responsible for his illegal invasion of Ukraine. Now, I wish they would have went deeper into that. They did not. Is there some kind of paranormal activity in Ukraine that we need to know about? Some kind of portals? I don't know. Very strange. But we talked about traditionalism, this philosophy that Putin and Dugin espouse, and Steve Bannon, arguably Trump. I don't know. I think Trump was more of a useful idiot. I don't think he necessarily was into traditionalism. I think he would have done whatever his handlers told him to do. I think he was just trying to make money. Either way, Pooty apparently doing occult blood rituals and stuff and sacrificing animals. And this ties into a lot of different theories. We talked about sex magic in a two-part special a couple months ago. And we talked about shunamitism. Shunamitism, this idea that these old elites that were losing power and getting old and dying, they would lay in bed with young girls, young virgins. Not sexy time, though. They would just lay next to them, and through osmosis of some kind, they would get virility and energy. Very strange. And staying on that Russian propaganda topic, Roger Stone, who's tied into a lot of these strange Russian voices, all right? Look, and I don't get political. I don't know what the whole deal is with the Russia thing. I just know it's very odd how some people are defending the guy who is talking about nuking us with a Satan II missile. okay. Whatever, right? Roger Stone, he's seen demonic portals. Shout out to Jason. Jason got me on the drop with this one. Lots of people talking about it. The title of the article on alternet.org, Swirling Like a Cauldron, Roger Stone Spins Bizarre Conspiracy About a Demonic Portal Above Biden White House. During a recent appearance on the Eric Metaxas radio show, conservative radio host Eric Metaxas asked Stone about his thoughts on the existence of the supernatural. This is Roger Stone. He says, so I was skeptical about it, but I looked at the photos. Also, okay, so he apparently said there's a portal above the White House. He says, so I was skeptical about it, but I looked at the photos. Also, there's a live cam where you can actually see it in real time. And there does appear to be something above the White House. At first, you say, oh, maybe it's a reflection. Maybe it's an aerostat balloon. Maybe there's a logical explanation. Yeah, that's it. People are saying maybe it's an aerostat balloon. You got it, Roger Stone. What is an aerostat balloon? And do you think people are really saying that? No, they're not. Stone says it's still there if you look. And here's the thing. I took them for face value. I said, okay, let's see it. And I went searching for it. And strangely enough, hard to find these images. And leave it up to the media. A lot of sources covered this story. Yahoo, all kinds of big names. Did any single one of them attach a photo of this portal? Not one. I was about to give up. Because if you Google this, you just find links to the article, right? But then I found a YouTube video. I said, oh, here we go. I click it. The video got taken down. What do you know? I said, okay, maybe Roger Stone's onto something here. They're suppressing the results. And if I know Google, and I know Google, trust me, I've been analyzing my search site statistics since 2011. And once you get on the bad name of Google, you will be suppressed, as I did. And to be fair, I did write a book saying that they were ushering in the transhumanistic hell. So there's that. So in a way, kind of my own fault. But then I found a Reddit from Biker Sith on the conspiracy Reddit. I'm going to read you straight from Biker Sith. Pretty slim pickings out there, so I searched for a live cam of the White House. Sure enough, there is an effing weird red circle over the White House. I posted the link to the people asking for proof in conspiracy commons and went to bed. I even posted a screenshot of the webcam for the people who just won't look at a live stream. I got up a couple hours later and all the posts to the White House webcam, as well as links to the image page hosting the screenshot, have been quietly deleted. I saw none of them got any upvotes and checked the Revedit deletion page. All are deleted. If it's utter BS, why are posts to the webcam being deleted? So there you go. Even more suppression. Now, on that Reddit, I finally found a person linking to the images that they snagged of this portal. One looks kind of promising. It kind of looks like a blood red moon in a way. Look, I don't know. Odd coincidence. It's tough to say. I looked at the live stream. I didn't really see it, to be honest. I will post my images to Instagram. You can take a look for yourself. I mean, it's hard to know, right? Am I looking at the blood red moon? Am I looking at a camera refraction? I have no idea. So you be the judge on that. Let's shift over to hip hop. Gunna, a very famous rapper, he's out of prison. Can you believe it? What was he doing in prison? Let me tell you. In May 2022, Kitchens, his name's Sergio Kitchens, Gunna. Kitchens and Jeffrey Williams, that's Young Thug, were among 28 persons associated with YSL, who were charged in a 56-count Racketeer Influence and Corrupt Organizations Act indictment. That's RICO. If you've seen the mobster movies, they get them on the RICO charges. On May 11, 2022, Kitchens turned himself into authorities. Kitchens was denied bond, and his trial was scheduled to begin January 9th, 2023. On October 13th, Kitchens was again denied release from jail ahead of his January trial. On December 14th, Kitchens pled guilty to a single charge of racketeering and was sentenced to 5 years in prison, with 1 year commuted to time served and the rest of the sentence suspended, subject to probation conditions, including 500 hours of community service. He was released from jail the same day. So he copped a plea, got 5 years, shuttled down to 1 year, shuttled down to 6 months, did 6 months in prison. And all he had to do was say that YSL was in fact a gang. Now, everyone's debating if he's a snitch or not. And I gotta support my man 6ix9ine. He was on Academics live stream, and he makes a solid case. He says, if you look at the paperwork, it definitely says Gunna has to snitch when the state calls upon him to do so. He can plead the fifth, but only if he's talking about himself. If he's talking about Young Thug, who's still in prison, he has to tell the truth that YSL is a gang and Thug was a major, I don't know, coordinator or something. Now, what's interesting is that Lil Keed, a different rapper, was saying, and I think he's dead now, right? Keed was saying that YSL is not a gang at all. And he was on YSL. Okay, let me back up in case you don't know who we're talking about. Young Thug is a very famous rapper. He was always talking about YSL. I think it was like Young Slime Life or something. And apparently it's a gang, according to Gunna. But Thug and Gunna and all these people on the label were like, no, it's not a gang. It's not a gang at all. It's just a group of friends. And Lil Keed, before he got killed, was like, yeah, it's not a gang at all. Right. And then Gunna cops a plea, and now he says, yeah, it was a gang. And somehow people say, oh, but he's not snitching. Bro, like, Young Thug is still in prison. He's facing these charges of YSL being a gang, basically, and you're testifying that, yes, it's a gang. That's the same thing as testifying against Young Thug, right? And a lot of people weighed in on this. Whack 100 says, there's no way you get out at 6 months on RICO charges unless you snitched. But, I mean, it automatically makes Young Thug guilty. Because Gunna, and then a couple other associates also caught pleas and got out. So, and then what's crazy is nobody's really talking about how a few years ago, it was quite the scandal. Gunna was on a show called Crime Stoppers talking to the police, which is a big no-no in this, street gang life. And Crime Stoppers was kind of like a First 48 show. And Gunna was on there, and a lot of people say, like, hey, he was snitching. But he claims not. It says here, he did appear in the video, but the footage was taken out of context. He claims in the video he's actually speaking on his cousin serving life in prison for the death of a little girl, although he maintains that his family member is innocent. Gunna says, yeah, that's me, but that wasn't on no Crime Stoppers. I don't know what the hell ends thinking about, because I wasn't in no case or nothing. So, and like, even saying, like, you snitched on who? I was never in a no case. And look, all I'm saying, look, and I'm a very suburban white guy. I don't have a street bone in my body. All right. So I should not really have an opinion on this. All I'm saying is that if we're going to start making excuses on why Gunna is not a snitch and we shouldn't cancel Gunna, those should also extend to 6ix9ine. Because everyone in hip-hop condemned him immediately for snitching. 21 Savage, I mean, some of my favorite rappers. 21 Savage, I think Snoop even was always going hard on him. And to be fair, it's because he snitched on his gang, right? Which is a big no-no. But his gang, his buddies that were supposed to, he's supposed to hold down for each other and do prison time for each other, they were banging out his girl behind his back. They kidnapped him. They stole his money. They beat him up. And his whole stance was like, look, man, they violated the street code first. And they want him to do 50 years in prison for them? I wouldn't do it either. So, look, and again, I'm not a street guy. And there's a reason for that, is because I wouldn't want to pay that price. But I can understand 6ix9ine's situation where he, you know, he doesn't want to flip on, or he would flip on those people because they did him wrong first. Anyway, big controversy in the hip hop world. We'll see what happens, right? We'll see if Young Thug goes up for court and they get gonna testify against him. I don't know. Tough call here, right? Staying in the hip hop lane, Tory Lanez. And we're not going to talk about how he's on trial. Well, yeah, let's talk about it, right? He's on trial for allegedly shooting Meg Thee Stallion in the foot. And lots of different claims about what happened here and what didn't happen. Some people say, oh, it was, you know, actually her friend in the back seat. Some say, oh, he was trying to defend his friend in the back seat from Meg Thee Stallion because he was cheating on her with the girl in the back seat or something. I don't know. The news even got involved because they're saying that bloggers and podcasters like Adam 22 from No Jumper have been supporting Tory Lanez. And it's like a misogynistic thing. I don't know. I'm going to read you from Media Takeout, because here's where it gets interesting. Here's where it gets pertaining to what we research here on occult symbolism and pop culture. On Media Takeout, which again, dicey tabloid sites, we're told that Tory's defense plans on claiming that he did not shoot Megan. Tory's team will argue in court that it was Megan's former best friend, Kayla, who pulled the trigger. And there's more. But wait, there's more. Tory's legal team will claim that the reason why Meg is blaming Tory and not her former friend for the shooting is because they claim Meg's team at Roc Nation convinced her to blame Tory for the shooting so that she can get sympathy from her black female friends. The person explained, Tory's legal team will argue that Meg came up with the story that Tory shot her after speaking with her people at Roc Nation, including Jay-Z. Jay-Z, right? And now for the real kicker. The insider told us that Tory's team is even planning on possibly calling Roc Nation head Jay-Z to testify in the case and grill him over what he and Meg discussed about the incident. Media Takeout confirmed that while Jay-Z's name is not included on Tory Lanez's witness list, his lawyers informed the judge that they plan on calling rebuttal witnesses who are not listed after the prosecution rests its case. The insider added, I think there are some Illuminati ties to the way this whole thing went down. It feels like they're trying to sacrifice Tory. So, interesting stuff here, right? Jay-Z's got a lot of Illuminati accusations, and this just gets added in there. Now, to be fair, I do think that the defense rested already. I think, don't quote me on that. I'm following the case, but not too closely. I like Meg Thee Stallion as a performer, so you know my natural tendencies are to believe her. Tory Lanez is fine, but if you ask me which artist should we keep around, I'd rather have Meg Thee Stallion, to be honest. And speaking of Meg Thee Stallion, just in case you think I'm being too sympathetic, she's not getting off the hook here. She posted on Instagram a video promoting a video she did called Ungrateful with Key Glock. Key Glock, of course, close associate of Young Dolph. Young Dolph, we talked about his death recently, the occult symbolism behind it as well, when he died. But if you watch, and I'll put these images on my Instagram as well, instagram.com/IsaacWisehop. In the video, she is wearing, it starts out, she's on a black and white floor, which, you know, symbol of duality. In Freemasonry, you see it. And she's wearing all black. And she walks down this, she's at a funeral procession or whatever. She goes down to a coffin dressed in all black. She walks back dressed in all white. It's the death and rebirth ritual. And look, she's been plugging this alter ego as well. Here's another alter ego. Throw it in the mix. Tina Snow. And there's a video I seen on her YouTube of Tina Snow in a convertible, which is obviously Meg Thee Stallion, dressed in all white, talking to Meg Thee Stallion in all black. So this black and white duality thing fits in. But this alter ego thing, you know, this comes up all the time. We talk about it with MK Ultra theories of dissociative identity disorder, trauma, sexual abuse and trauma, creating alters in the mind of the victims where they feel like they have to identify as a different entity. And for her, it would be Tina Snow. And oh, by the way, what's the album called that all this is coming off of? Trauma Zine. Trauma Zine. Look, I don't know that she's been involved with any of that, but there's lots of weird things going on there. Moving on. We're almost done, folks. We're going to come back to Jay-Z. Let's talk about Nick Carter, though. Accused of raping an underage autistic fan in 2001. I'm going to read to you from page 6. Nick Carter is being accused of raping an underage girl back in 2001, according to a new lawsuit held by the alleged victim and her lawyers. Shannon Shea Ruth alleged in the Facebook live stream amid tears that when she was just 17 years old, the Backstreet Boys member sexually assaulted her. The last 21 years have been filled with pain, confusion, frustration, shame, and self-harm that are a direct result of Nick Carter raping me, the now 39-year-old alleged. Even though I'm autistic and live with cerebral palsy, I believe that nothing has affected me more or has a more lasting impact on my life than what Nick Carter did and said to me. After he raped me, I remember he called me a R-E-ed, the R word, called me an R word bitch, and grabbing me and leaving bruises on my arm. Look, I don't know if that happened. He obviously denies it. But what's interesting, why are we talking about it? Because his brother Aaron Carter died just recently in the bathtub. Less than a month ago. All right, we did a whole show on the occult symbolism of the bathtub and Aaron Carter. Well, do you remember Aaron Carter was accusing Nick Carter, his own brother, of doing this kind of stuff while he was alive? And now he's dead. What the hell? I think there's a lot of dark stuff going on in Hollywood that we have no idea. We know the CIA gets involved with Hollywood through Project... Operation Mockingbird. Do you think that intelligence assassins get involved with this stuff? Do you think that there's handlers involved? Yes, Kanye West told us. Not that everything he says should be taken for truth, but you look at Britney Spears, you look at Kanye West, they talk about how they were medicated by handlers. Even, anyway, I got it. I'm working on it. It'll be on the show if I get it done for the bonus feed. We're going to talk about it a little more. Moving on. Academics shared a message exchange where a woman said Future, the rapper, has demons in his studio. Let's take a look. Future allegedly let a female fan have it after she criticized his energy in the studio, telling her to shut her broke ass up. It's a very Future thing to say. Instagram user Sydney Lene recently posted a screenshot of an alleged DM exchange she had with King Pluto. That's Future. Lene told the Atlanta hitmaker, "You got all them freaked out demonic energies in your studio. Do better. Stay blessed." Future didn't appear to take kindly to Lene's critical message, writing back, "Shut your broke ass up, ho." Why are we talking about? Well, the theory here is that demonic forces get tied up into hip-hop. Faustian bargains, contracts with the devil, blood sacrifices. We did a whole show on the murder of Takeoff recently. Lots of rappers. I mean, it goes on and on. I don't know if you've seen Triple XXXTentacion. We talked about him when he died, about how there's a lot of allegations that Drake was somehow involved, and those allegations get stronger because he keeps rapping about it. I stopped talking about it because, to be honest, Drake's kind of the scariest dude in the world to me. I know, it sounds crazy, right? The kid from Degrassi High? Scary? A killer? Look, dude's got the money, and I already told you, I have a hard time saying it. on some level, he's the greatest artist of all time.
I know.
I know. Tell me another. I'm just saying, if I had the money to make a rap album and I could afford one feature, it would definitely go to Drake. 100% all day, every day. The guy makes hits like you wouldn't believe. It never stops. He's never going to stop. And it's possible that he's so powerful and so wealthy. And look, he kind of has that background where he's not really a hardened gangbanger type. And maybe he's in the position where he's like, I'm going to do it now. I'm going to be a hardened gangbanger now. Maybe, right? Like, we call that nerd anger sometimes. But he keeps rapping about, I mean, if you interpret his lyrics, about killing Triple XXXTentacion. And just recently it was revealed that the trial involved with X's death, one of the possible suspects, one of the possible testimonies they want to get up there is going to be from Drake. That's all I'm saying. Demonic forces influence murder, greed, all these things. Last but not least, Jay-Z, for the second time. Larry Johnson was apparently friends with Jay-Z. I'm going to tell you who he was if you don't know who I'm talking about. And he claims that Jay-Z and Beyonce are in fact Satanists. Again, for media takeout. Again, a kind of shady site. They got the video clip, though. He says this. At one time, Larry Johnson and Jay-Z were inseparable. Jay-Z was the biggest rapper in the world, and Larry was the top running back in the NFL. The two men, both in their 20s, were roommates. And Larry was signed to Jay-Z's new Rockefeller management company. But their friendship ended after Larry was accused of repeatedly fighting women. Eventually, Jay-Z realized that he couldn't be associated with Larry and cut him off. Now Larry is speaking out about his former bestie, and he has a lot to say about Jay-Z and Beyonce. Media Takeout learned that in a new interview, Larry claims that Jay-Z is a Satanist. Jason Whitlock's podcast, Fearless, welcomed former NFL running back Larry Johnson. Larry opened up about his past and old connections from his early days with the Kansas City Chiefs. One of these close connections was with rapper Jay-Z. Larry talks about hip-hop and reveals some wild things about Jay-Z. Larry explained to Jason, quote, "It's obvious that Jay-Z and Beyonce are being controlled by Satanism. I am not really scared to say this. We all know that Luciferians, Freemasons, and occult knowledge that was dug up from Egypt has now surfaced in American society." I agree with him. He continues, "They are obviously not serving the same Most High God that I am. That's what makes us enemies. I stand for a completely different truth than he does." All right. And Larry Johnson, of course, a big conspiracy theorist guy. He was pushing a lot of QAnon nonsense back in the day. That's why I kind of don't really follow him. But here's the thing, though. Sure, you were friends with Jay-Z. Where's the proof? I want the proof. That's my beef with all these celebs trying to rock the conspiracy movement. Now that it's the cool thing to be a conspiracy theorist, trying to expose other celebrities. You know, him and Kanye doing their vague booking thing. They're doing all this stuff. I've seen it with my own eyes. Hey, bro, just pull the phone out, record some stuff for us, all right? I mean, at least Kanye posted that screenshot of the text he had with Harley Pasternak, the trainer that said he was going to, what did he say he was going to do? MK, he's going to medicate him into oblivion or whatever he said. Crazy stuff going on in the world right now, all right? Crazy stuff. And what's interesting is, if you didn't follow, David Icke, who's one of my red pill experiences, you know? Again, I don't buy everything he says, but he was kind of the best. I think honestly, he was so far ahead of his time. He connected all the dots in a way no one else could. And he's a legend. He's probably your A-plus legend. You know, if I had a short list of guests, fantasy guests, it would include Peter Lavenda. It would include 6ix9ine. It would include Leo DiCaprio, just because I love him so dearly. but it would definitely have David Icke. I got close before. I almost got it. Almost landed the big fish and then slipped out. I've read his books. I've seen his documentaries. I think he does a really good job of piecing together all of the things connecting. But he got canceled. They won't let him into certain countries in Europe now. Shout out Dr. Anteater. He was one of the ones that first told me about it. But yeah, it was all over the news. So let me get this straight. So Alex Jones gets canceled. David Icke gets canceled. Okay. But Balenciaga and Jay-Z and Big Pharma lying to us about stuff. Totally fine. Totally normal. I'm just saying we need a standard of free speech across the country. So there you go. I don't want to start rambling at you. Lots to catch up on in the world, right? These TMZ episodes get longer and longer and harder to track. There's so much going on constantly. And I'm constantly reading. I just want to finish my Michael Hoffman book, Secret Societies and Psychological Warfare. I'm working on crazy amounts of shows in the background over here. I'm damn near sold out of shirts. I got size smalls left. Get your George Bush Skull and Bones shirt. Welcome to Grifter Alley, folks. We don't finish an episode without going to Grifter Alley, where I can sell you my wares. I got signed books. I'm shipping out. I got shirts. You know where to go. Hit the links in the show notes to find all the stuff. All right. Thank you for listening to the show. And oh, Grifter Alley, this is a freebie, though. All right. This one doesn't cost you anything. Leave a review, please. On Apple Podcasts, I need 5-star reviews. I got to counter all the 1-star trolls that they listen to one episode and they hate, I don't know, everything about me. And they hate me so much from listening to one episode, they feel the need to drop a 1-star. I really need your help countering that because they're trying to bring down the algorithm. So drop those 5 stars. I appreciate it. Thank you. If you've already done it, thank you. If you're new and you like me and you want to support the show, drop the 5-star review. All right, thanks for your time, everybody. Until next time, stay woke.